Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Good evening. Welcome back from summer vacation. The plan is that maybe we'll learn the first few weeks, we'll learn in Yonadi Rosh Hashanah, Yamim Naraim, and then after the Yamim Taivim, after Sukkot, maybe we'll start the third parak in Maseches Megillah. But Gold pointed out that we never learned Maseches Megillah all the years. So maybe that's an idea. We'll start from the third parak. Okay. The Gemara has that on Rosh Hashanah, we recite the piyut, Zahayom Tchilos Masecha, that this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's not exactly Hayom Ha'aras Olam, today is the birthday of the world. The Gemara has that piyut. It's not exactly Ha'aras Olam. Rosh Hashanah was not the first day of the Sheshes Mebereshes, it's the sixth day. Adam Arishon was created. Everything before Adam Arishon was prehistoric because there was nobody there. The Chumash describes Vayera Vayveke Yom Echod, Vayera Vayveke Yom Sheni, and so on, but there was nobody there till Adam Arishon. So the historical part of Sheshes Mebereshes is after Adam Arishon was created. That's what we mean when we say Zayam Tchilos Masecha. But the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in the first paragraph, to Zainam and Aleph, the first few lines on the Omud, Mishnah says, Baba Prakam Hoylam Nidon, Rabban Shalom judges the whole world four times in the year. The Pesach is the Gmar Din on the Tvua, on Shavuah is Batzeris, on Peres Avila, on Rosh Hashanah called Bayolam, adjudged, and the Bechag Nidonim Alamayim, on Sukkot is a judgment on Mayim. So the Gemara never gives any sources in Tanakh that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. How did they know that? So the Ramban had a famous debate with a Meshumed in Spain. The Meshumed was a debate about which is the true religion, Christianity or the Jewish religion. And basically the Ramban won the debate, but he realized that he better leave Spain, or the Catholics will see to it that they kill him, because he demolished with his arguments. He showed how the whole Christian religion is false. So that's when he left Eretz Yisrael, came to Eretz Yisrael. So he came to Yerushalayim, and there was barely a minyan. And then he came before Rosh Hashanah, and he there's a Beis HaKnesses HaRamban there in the Eir Atika. So he davened there. That's why it's called Beis HaKnesses Ramban. And he gave a drasha on Rosh Hashanah, which he later on wrote up. It's a very long drasha. He went through all the halachas, all the agadas, all the top. Must have been 4 or 5 hours long. So this is the first issue that the Ramban raises in his drasha on Rosh Hashanah. Where did the Chachamim get this idea from? Where does it say anywhere in Tanakh that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin? So he answers basically based on a medrash, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that the Gemara has part of this, that the same day Adam Rishon was created, the sixth day of Sheshes Mebereshes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He wasn't yet given the Isra Aviv Menachai, that was only given to Noach after the Mabul. So in the days of Adam Rishon, there were only six of the seven, because he wasn't allowed to eat meat at all. He wasn't allowed to eat any flesh at all. After the Mabul, he was permitted to eat Kiryat Kesev Nesati Lachem Eskol. Just like until now, you were permitted to eat fruits and vegetables, so from now on, you're allowed to eat flesh also. So after the Mabul, when Bosa was Hutar to Adam Rishon, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, Bosa was Hutar to Noach, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the additional din that you're not permitted to eat the Eid Melechai. But on the day that he was created, he was instructed regarding six of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Medrash, the Ramban quotes this Medrash, the Ramban beginning of Chulin quotes the Medrash, that if Adam Arishon would have waited till Leil Shabbos, he was created on Friday morning, he would have waited till Leil Shabbos, he would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't have self-control to wait just a few hours, less than a day, to wait till Leil Shabbos. That's what the Ramban in the beginning of Chulin says, that even though there's a din, Rob Mitzui Meitzah Shechita Mumchim Heim, Yigo Basar Roiv, But whenever you can be boydik, the Rif says like that. If a person comes in a shech tzebein, I don't know if he knows if it's shechita or not, so we assume the Rav is that he probably knows hilcha shechita. But l'chatchila should fahare him to see if he really knows, not to rely on the Rav. So the Ramban discusses over there this idea. When you have a birur of a Rav, can you rely on the Rav, or should you always try, like the Rif said, you should always try to be boydik to ascertain for sure? So what's the halacha? So the Ramban says, minator, you rely on the Rav, you're not mechuyev to be boydik. But the Rabbonim, whenever there's a miyut hamotzui, so then you're supposed to be boydik. So that's why we check for shatnas when you buy a suit. Even if we know the Rav of this company's suits do not have any shatnas, but if it's a miyut hamotzui, then you have to be boydik. Or let's say when a shechet shechet sebeime, so the Ramban quotes a medrash that says you have to be boydik for sirchas on the lungs. There are 70, there are shivim trefas, there's 70 different kinds of trefas. How come we're only boydik for sirchas on the lungs? If you'll have to be boydik everything, it'll take forever. But why did the Chachamim decide sirchas on the lungs? So that's what the Ramban says. Sirchas on the lungs is a miyut hamotzui. So that's the question. What percentage is it? How strong does the Rav have to be that the miyut is called the miyut she'ena motzai? And how big does the miyut have to be that it's called the miyut hamotzai? So Rav Soloveitchik used to give hashgacha in the slaughterhouse in Boston. He said he used to use, when it came to sirchas on the lungs, there are different kulas. The Rav Moh has kulas. So he used to use, his loshem was, he used to use all the kulas on the books plus more. He used to use kulas from the Balatanya. Balatanya has in the end of the Shulchan Aruch Yeridaya, in his Shulchan Aruch Harav, he has additional kulas to be makel on sirchas on the lungs. Now, so he used to be makel on everything, and with all the kulas that he used to use, he used to have 14% of all the animals that the shech did would turn out to have trefas that he couldn't be makel. He used to be upset that at that time there were other slaughterhouses which were under Ashgach of other rabbis who said that their flesh was glatt kosher, means that they're not being makel at all, and they used to only have 9% trefas. How is that possible? If mine is not glatt kosher, I'm makel on everything under the sun, and still I have 14% trefas, how can they have glatt kosher and only have 9%? He said it's not glatt kosher, it's glatt treif. He said you can't rely on those rabbis. So he said he saw from his own experience that the Mishkan Es Yankiv, he thinks the Mishkan Es Yankiv is right. Mishkan Es Yankiv writes that he thinks he has a right in the Gemara in Bava Basra that miyut hamotzi is 10% or above. So in America, it was 14% of all the animals that the shech did were treifas. That's above 10%. Rabbi Yashiv was not happy with that Mishkan Es Yankiv. He said that in Eretz Yisrael for over 100 years, probably over 150 years, they were keeping records of how many of the animals that the shech did in the slaughterhouses had sirchas that they couldn't be mekel on. So in Eretz Yisrael it was only 7%. 7%. It wasn't 14%. Maybe the air is not as polluted as it is in America, whatever the explanation is. So Rav Yashiv thought that medrash that the Ramban quotes, that and he interprets that sirchas on the lungs of miyut hamotzei was not, probably not written in America. It may be written in Eretz Yisrael, so and maybe it was the same percentage then as it is for the last 150 years, that it's only 7%. So Rabbi Yashu thought you have to be machmer. Whenever there's a miyut hamotzei of 7% or above, you have to be boydik midirabbonim. That's the Ramban says. When you have a miyut hamotzei, you have to be boydik. So it's only midirabbonim. It's not a diminator. So this is, let's say, do you have to check vegetables for bugs or not? So it depends if it's a miyut hamotzei, if it's over 7% or over 10%, whatever shita you follow, then you have to be boydik midirabbonim. If it's less than that, it's miyut she'ena motzei, then the chum midirabbonim doesn't apply. For checking for shatnas, checking for bugs, checking for sirchas on the lungs. Yeah. Whenever it's a miyut hamotzei, you have to be machmer. So the Rabban quotes this medrash, me, Adam Arishin didn't have the self-control to wait till Leil Shabbos, when the Eitz Hadas would have been permissible to eat from the Eitz Hadas. and he violated the din. So the Medrash has an expression, "Mi galo afa me'enecha ademirishin." We ought to dig up ademirishin from his grave and take the sand off of his eyes and let him look at the Jewish people. When they shech the behemoth, they don't eat the flesh until they're baidik to see if there are sichas on the lungs. A woman becomes tamei sur labayla, so she waits at least 7 days. Sometimes she's going to kiyim. Sometimes it's way more than 7 days till she goes to the mikveh. And when we plant the trees, so we're not permitted to eat the pears that grow the first 3 years. It's tzarlo. So you have to have self-control. So that's what the Medrash brings out, this idea. So the Medrash says then, Adam Rishon was judged the same day he was created. He was instructed, 6 out of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach, he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That was a Hirashah, just till the end of the day. He wasn't able to observe the din. And then he was judged and he was punished all on the same day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon, that's what it says in the Medrash Pirkei Rav Lezer that the Ramban quotes in his drasha for Rosh Hashanah that he delivered in Yerushalayim when he ran away from Spain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon, just like I judged you and I punished you today, so too in all the future generations I will judge all of your descendants, all of mankind, on this day, on the day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's relevant for the Jews and for the non-Jews. Alamadina's Bayeyomer. It's a judgment on individuals. Given a Maroin, that's how the Mishnah says on Tezvainim and Aleph. Each person is judged individually, and each Medina will be judged. Alamadina's Bayeyomer, Ezal Acher, Ezal Arab, and so on. So that's what the Ramban says. This doesn't appear in Tanakh anywhere, but this was a tradition from the days of Avodah Merishon. We have an expression, Ein melech b'lo yom. One is not considered a melech unless he has a kingdom and he's molech over a nation, over some people. That's what we say in Adon Olam, Hashem melech b'tern kol Yisrael. Eis nasa b'chef tzokol, azay melech shemoni yikro. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, after he created Adam Arishan, then he had the status of a melech. Until then, he wasn't a melech. On Rosh Hashanah, he became a melech. So that's why there's a theme of Malchus to be Mekabel HaMalchus Shamayim on Rosh Hashanah. In a lot of Machzorim, they have 10 kavanas from Rabbi Nisadya Gaon that one should have at the time of Tkir Shofar. So one of the kavanas is, when they used to appoint a new king, they just appointed a new king in Great Britain, so they blow trumpets. They blow trumpets to announce the melech. So what's one of the 10 kavanas on Rosh Hashanah is the kavanah of being mamlech the melech. We blow the shofar to proclaim that we're accepting our Kodesh Baruch as the melech. The Medrash has a comment on the psukim in Mishle, Kvod Elikim Hesta Dover, Kvod Melochim Chakor Dover. So the Medrash has, it's in the Gemara in Chagiga also, but the Gemara Chagiga quotes other psukim. So the Medrash says, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever happened in the first 5.5 days of Sheshis Mei Bereishis before Adam Arishan was created, he wasn't yet a melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only a melech after the human beings. Ein melech b'lo yom. So we apply whatever happened in the first 5.5 days before Adam Arishan was created, we apply the pasuk quote Lakim Hester Dover. We're not supposed to delve into that, anything about the Big Bang. They teach about it in school and universities and so on, but that's not right. That's the Mishnah Chagiga. You're not allowed to ask Malifonim what happened before Adam Rishon was created. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Chomish Kishal Noli Amim Rishonim Asher Yul Lafanecho Lemerayam Shabar Lakim Odom Al Haaretz. You have a right to ask what happened since the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon. But they ask anything about the Big Bang, anything about what happened before Adam Rishon was created. So the Gemara learns out from that pasuk, Kisham Dal Yom Hashem Shehoi Lofanecha, Lemene Yom Shebor Lekim Adam, you're not allowed to delve into anything before. After Adam Rishon is created, then the other pasuk applies, the Medrash says, Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. After Adam Rishon was created, then a melech below Yom, so there is an Om. So the human beings are the Am, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech. So then we say, Kvod Malachim, Hakor Dover. It's a kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you study all of nature, if you study all the science to see what an unbelievably complicated world that Rabbi Shalom created. So Rosh Hashanah is the day when we're supposed to be Mikabal Lo Malchus Shamayim. It's a famous comment to the name of Rabbi Sol Salanta that it says in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara that when you recite Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, you should have Kavanah to be Mavlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ches of Echad represents the Shivari Kiyam, the seven heavens. The Gemara in Chagiga says there are seven heavens, and then there's Olam Hazeh. So that's seven and one is eight. So you should have a mind when you say Hashem Echad. The Ches represent with Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Shivari Kiyam in Olam Hazeh, and then the Dalet is northeast, southwest. So the quote from Rabbi Yisrael says that's what you're supposed to have in mind when you close your eyes. You should be Mechaben to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam. So they quote a humorous line in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salant that people are so busy being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having all the Kavanas in their mind about the Shivari Kiyam and Olam Hazeh, northeast, southwest, they forgot the Iker, Chosim and HaSefer, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on themselves. You have to listen to the Melech. Whatever the Melech says, you have to abide, you have to observe. That's the Iker of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. So that's one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah, Malchias in Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Also, another major theme of Rosh Hashanah is that it's a Yom HaDin, like the Ramban pointed out from the Mishnah to Zion. And this was a tradition from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon when he was judged and he was chased out of Gan Eden on the same day, he was punished. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, in the future, every year, I will judge all of mankind, all of your descendants on this day. So if we're being judged on this day, if it's a Yom HaDin, so it certainly is considered an Eis Tzara. There is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam's opinion is that there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day. And the Ramban disagrees. He thinks that the not only is three times a day in Midrabban, and even once a day is also only Midrabban. When does the Ramban agree that there is a chi of tefillah min haTorah? If there's a tefillah be'es tzor, there's a tzoras rabim, there's an epidemic, or there's a flood, or there's a milchama, some terrible catastrophe, so then there's a chi of tefillah min haTorah. So if Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Yemei HaDin, Rosh Hashanah Yikoseven Yom Kippur Yechoseimon. So if these are Yemei HaDin, by definition, that's going to be an Eis Tzor. So there's an obligation to daven in HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah. Where do we see this in the Pesukim? So the Gemara understands that Kiyo Shofar is a form of Tefillah. The Gemara has a din. We're familiar with the din from Sukkah, Perek Lulav HaGozel. On the first day, Sukkah is in each Shalachem. On the first 2 days, those who live in Chutz Lord, the first 2 days in each Shalachem. So Lulav HaGozel is not Shalachem. But on the rest of the days of Sukkot, you don't need Shalachem. So what's wrong if it's a Lulav HaGozel? The Gemara says it's no good because Mitzvah Haba Baver. So the Gemara refers to it, the Babli refers to the Mitzvah Haba Baver, and the Rishalmi refers to the same din as Ein Katega Nasa Sanega. Basically, Rav Soloveitcher used to say over the name of Rav Chaim that he used to point out there's such a ritva on the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says there is a machlokes hatanaim where the karka nixelos, a karka in and nixelos. I think it's next to the last daf in Bava Kama. Bava Kama ends, I think, daf kuf yutes, something like that. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, they both end kuf yutes. So it's a daf or two before the end of the Masechta. There's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. Gozol avodim v'hizkimu. You have a din of avodim hukshul lekakos. Every k'naini has a din like karka. Every divri and b'nei chorin, that's a question. But every k'naini for sure is hukshul lekakos. He's compared to karka. So any din, many of the dinim that apply to karka carry over to every k'naini. So there's a machloikis satanoim where the karka nixelus or not. What does it mean if you still cannot in violation of a law? So there's such a difficult thesis on the first half in Perek Hazon Eshech, the karka and exalus mean you don't violate the law of Leisigzel. How can that be? So the other Rishonim don't accept the thesis because it's Rashi and Chumash quotes this Torah's Kohanim, and the Rambam also quotes the same Torah's Kohanim. Torah's Kohanim says if you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael in addition to the law of Leisigzel, you also violate Sasa Gvoliachem and Achaloschal Shatinchal. If it is still karka in Chutz Lord, you only violate you only violate Loisig Zol. What if you steal Metaflam? If you steal the Rada Mebil in Eretz Yisrael, you only violate Loisig Zol. It's a special love. If you steal Karka, in addition to the Yisra Loisig Zol, in Eretz Yisrael, you also violate Asasik Gul Yachad and Achaloscha Shatincha. So the Sifra and the Rashi and the Rambam, most of the Rishonim disagree with that thesis. They hold that there certainly is a love of Loisig Zol and Karka. So what is the Machloikis Hatanai, where the Karka and Gzelus are different Machloikis? We know those who learned the end of Bava Kama, the Gemara assumes when the Ganef steals something, he acquires what we call a Kinyan Geneva on the object. What's the significance of calling it a Kinyan Geneva? It's considered as if it's his. So number one, if the owner will be Nisyaish from it, some sheet this in Gemara hold that Yush is kind of. If the Nigzal is Nisyaish, then because the Ganef has a Kinyan Geneva on it, he's kaina. If a shinui will occur, also shinui kaina. That's machlekes b'sham and b'sil. So according to b'sil, that's how we paskin shinui kaina. So let's say the ganav stole lumber from a lumber yard, then he takes it and he makes a table out of it, or he steals wool and he dyes it a different color. So that's shinui. So shinui is kaina because there was a kinyan zel and there. Other dinim also based on the fact that there's a kinyan zel. So the Tanoim, the Machlokes HaBleiz and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, almost the very end of Bava Kama, I think two or three blot before the end is a Mishnah. Gozal Avodim Mehiskinu. I stole an Eved when he was 10 years old, and I held the Eved for 60 years. Now he has a long white beard, and no one can recognize that this is the same Eved that it was that I stole 60 years ago. Now he's 70 years old. So the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanoim, is the Ganef Kaina Bishinui. The Eved looks completely different. So according to the Tana holds Karka and Exela, so Avodim Hupshula Karko, Ebek Nani has the same din as Karka, so there's no Kini Exela on an Ebed, so the Ganef would not be kind of Ishinoi, even though his Gozal Avodim is his Kinu. They aged, and they look totally different. They don't look at all. You can't identify the person based on what he looked like 60 years ago. And so that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. We paskin Karka Ein and Exelas. And we paskin that avodim, gozal avodim hiskinu, you can say harei shalach lefanech, because the ganef is not kind of bishinu. Just like shinu is not kind of by karka, so shinu is not kind of by avodim, because there's no kin exela on karka. So the Gemara has a din in a sukkah gzula is no good. Ad a sukkah tasa lecha, shivas yamim lecha min shalcha. The sukkah should belong to you. If it's a stolen, so I can visit by someone else. They invite me, I can eat by someone else. But if I steal someone else's sukkah gzula is no good. So the Gemara says, it depends what did I steal. If my next door neighbor has a prefabricated sukkah in his basement and I steal it, I stole metaltalim, so then the sukkah, the schachan, the whole sukkah is called the sukkah gzula. The sukkah has to have a floor also. Let's say if you have a sukkah that's floating in the air with balloons and it doesn't have any floor, it has defanas, you have to have steinkel chosom, you have to have 2.5 walls out of the 4 walls. So he has skach and he has defan, but it doesn't have a floor. So the din is, it's not a kosher sukkah. Sukkah has to have a floor also. So let's say I have my own sukkah and I put my sukkah in your backyard and I'm stealing the floor from you. I don't let you use your backyard. And I threaten to kill you if you call the police. So you can't do anything about it. So then the Gemara says, it's not called the sukkah gzula. If the din would have been the karka and exelis, the Gemara says it depends. If karka and exelis, then it's called mitzvah babavera. Then it's no good. If karka and exelis, then it's not called mitzvah babavera. So the Ritvor raises the question, what does it depend whether karka and exelis or not? But everyone agrees that the one who steals karka is clearly in violation of leisigzol. So it is a sukkah gzula. So the Ritva explains, no, in order that it should be a mitzvah b'avera, indeed it should be a cheftza shel avera. If someone did it, let's say a lulav agosa, I stole a lulav, which is metaltalim, and I have a kinyan gzela on the lulav. So because of the avera that I did, the lulav has a new label. It's called a lulav agosa, because I have a kinyan gzela on it. So that's the din, enkatega nasa sanega. It's a little more, to say it like that is a little more accurate than saying mitzvah b'avera. Mitzvah b'avera sounds, if I did an avera that enables me to fulfill a mitzvah, it's no good. Here I did an avera. I stole the karka. I built my sukkah in his backyard, and I don't let him use his backyard. So I'm actively involved in an act of gzela when I'm using the floor of the sukkah is his backyard. He doesn't give me permission. But nonetheless, the Gemara said it's not a mitzvah b'avera. The way we pass on halacha, the karka in the gzela. So that's what the Ritva explains. That's yadua b'shem Rav Chaim, but Rav Chaim quoted the Ritva. That mitzvah b'avera means a chefta shel avera cannot be used as a chefta shel mitzvah. What is it called, a chefta shel avera? Someone did an avera because of which this object was given a different label. We call it the sukkah gzula. But if a karka and an exalus, there is no kinyan gzela, so it's just, I did an avera that enabled me to fulfill a mitzvah, but it's not called a kateger, it's not called a chefta shel avera. So the Gemara has in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara has Kol ha-shofar is kosher. Any shofar is good. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a few restrictions. Not every shofar is good. The Ramban, in his drasha that he delivered in the Ir Atika when he ran away from Spain, so he came up with a few interesting chidushim. So one of his chidushim is, if you have an animal that has a horn, that solid horn, it doesn't have any flesh in the middle that you can scrape out. So that's not called a shofar. A shofar is miloshen shvaferes. Shvaferes means a tube or a straw. Let's say you drink soda through a straw, that's called a shvaferes. So if you have a shell of, if the animal, on the animal's head, you have a shofar, and the shofar has flesh in the middle, you scrape out the flesh, so you have a shell of a horn. So that's called a shofar miloshen shvaferes. But if you have an animal that has a solid horn, has no flesh in the middle to scrape out, you have to drill a hole in the middle, that's not acceptable. That is interesting. That's not, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch from the Ramban. Then there are more quotes in the Shulchan Aruch also. The shofar is only acceptable from a kosher animal. If you get a shofar, if you take the horn from a non-kosher animal, that's not acceptable. This is based on why, what's wrong? You're not eating anything over here. What's the horn is not treif, it's not droy lachila. What's the problem? So the Gemara has halacha l'moshe m'sinai l'huch shuru l'malecha shamayim ala arbeim atara belvad. The Gemara says when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan, so they had oris t'choshin, they had the hide of a tachash animal. What kind of an animal is a tachash? So the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos in Bema Madlikin, it doesn't exist anymore. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu existed, today it doesn't exist, but we know for sure that it must have been a kosher animal. You determine whether a kosher animal has to be malager, mafris parsis. And Moshe says, we know for sure it must have been a kosher animal because they were using it for the Mishkan. And we have a tradition, l'huchshu l'malecha shamayim elor behem etor belvah. So the Gemara says, when do you need this? Halacha l'moshe m'sina l'huchshu l'malecha shamayim. When you want to use something for a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, for the cloth that you write, the parshios of the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, I don't need this halacha l'moshe m'sina. I have a pasuk, l'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha min amuta b'ficha. Whenever you're writing Divrei Torah on parchment, it has to be parchment from a kosher animal. And even the Bayis Shel Rosh, we just have a shin, we have two shins on the Bayis Shel Rosh, that's also Divrei Torah. So that's covered. The Bayis Shel Rosh has to be from a kosher animal based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, Mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha, which implies Menamuta b'ficha. If you're writing Divrei Torah on parchment, the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah has to be parchment from a kosher animal. But the Gemara raises the question, what about Ritzuis? There are no letters of Divrei Torah on the Ritzuis. That's what Tosfos points out, that we have a Dalit on the Shel Rosh and a Yud on the Shel Yad, and Rashi understood that you take the Shin on the Shel Rosh and the Dalit and the Yud, spells the Shem Hashem as Shin Dalit Yud. So Tosfos said, that's an Asmachta, that's Midirabon. The Gemara says, Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Misinai, that there should be a Kesher, has to be a Kesher Shel Kayama. If it's just an aniva, the Gemara says, since we paskin, aniva is not called the kesher shel kayama for Shabbos purposes. Aniva is not acceptable to the tefillin either. If the din would have been like the Tana, that aniva is called the kesher shel kayama for Shabbos, then an aniva would have been acceptable for the tefillin also. But we paskin aniva is not a kesher shel kayama for Shabbos, not a kesher shel kayama for tefillin either. So Tosh says, but the fact that it should be in the shape of a dalet, the shape of a yud, they said, that's only Midirabonim. That part is not Minat Torah. kesher shel tefillin halach, Moshim is saying that there should be a kesher. But what the tzuras kesher is, a taisa sheet that's only with the rabba. So they prove it from this Gemara, because the Gemara says that the parchment on which you write the parshios has to be from a kosher animal, because Torah Hashem v'ficha, whenever you're writing psukim, it has to be menamuta v'ficha, whenever you're writing ksav of Torah. And the Bayi Shal Rosh has to have a shin on it, so that has to be the hide that you make the Bayi Shal Rosh has to be from a kosher animal. But the Bayi Shal Yad, with no letters on it, or the Ritzuas, Shal Yad or Shal Rosh, with no letters on that, so then the Gemara says, there is no pasuk Torah Hashem b'ficha, menamuta b'ficha. So the Gemara says, it's based on Allah and Moshe Messina, l'huch shalom alach ha-shamayim, b'lah ha-rbeim, b'torah b'lvah. So the Gemara has this halacha Moshe Messina with respect to the Oros Tchoshim in the Mishkan. The Tachash must have been a kosher animal, otherwise they wouldn't have been allowed to use it for the Mishkan. And it has to be that the Bayu Shal Yad, even though it doesn't have any letters on it, and the Ritzuas have to be from a kosher animal. So these are Tashmishi Kedusha. Oros Tchoshim in the Mishkan, the Mishkan had Kedusha, and the Tefillin is Tashmishi Kedusha. What about Tashmishi Mitzvah? What about the son of Shal Chalitza? Chalitza shoe is a machlekes hatanaim. Does it have to be made from leather? Can it be another kind of a shoe that protects the foot? If you're just going to use a sock, stockings or a sock, that's not called a cholzon nala me'al ragloi. For Chalitza, you need a shoe. It has to be a nal. So there's a machlekes hatanaim. What's the definition of a nal? So we paskin halacha, it has to be dafke from leather. So the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Rishonim. I don't think Tosfos quotes the Rishonim. Quote the Rabbeinu Tam has said that it has to be from kosher, from a kosher animal. Many of the shoes are made from horse leather, so that would not be acceptable for a chalitza shoe. It has to be kosher, from a kosher animal. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that the sandal shel chalitza has to be from kosher. Huchshu l'malach shamayim alo arbeim ator b'lvat. So that's how the Ran raises a suffix. Can you use the Ran on the Rif in Rosh Hashanah? When the Gemara talks about the Mishnah, the Gemara talks about which shofars are acceptable. So the Ramban came up with this. His chiddush has to be a shofaris, shofar miloshen shofaris. If it's solid horn and it doesn't have any flesh in the middle that you scrape out, it's not called a shofar. So the Ran adds on, even if it does have flesh in the middle, it's from a non-kosher animal, he's not so sure that it's acceptable. It's tashmishi kedusha, it's tashmishi mitzvah, but it's not Tashmishi Kedusha. So that's the suffix in the Ran. The Ramak writes it as if the Ran said the Torah's Vaday, that it's not acceptable. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Ran, that's not accurate. The Ran was Mesupik, whether it's acceptable or not. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah says, what if the only shofar that you have available is a shofar that was made from a not kosher animal? So since it's a suffix in the Ran, so he says, that's the only shofar you have. You should blow shofar without a bracha. Sofik deraisa luchum yishab lo shayfer, and sofik brachas lo'akal, so you don't say a bracha. It's not that it's possible to Torah's vaday, it's a sofik, yeah. So the Gemara says that this din, a mitzvah above avera, which we, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, calls lila bagozol, enka tega nasasan eger, and that's what it really is. It's not really a mitzvah above avera. I did an avera that enables me to do a mitzvah, that's not enough. The Ritva showed from the Gemara has to be Adid and Avera, which caused the Chal Hashem Cheftza Shal Avera on the Lulav. I have Kinyon Exela on the Lulav. If I stole Karka and Karka in Exelis, I violated Avera Le Sigzel. But the Karka doesn't have a Kinyon Exela, then it's not called a Mitzvah of Avera. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh to do the Akrobus HaKabonis, is not allowed to wear the big dezah. Why? Because ain't Katega Nasa Sanega. What's the Katega? Who did an Avera with the gold? So the Gemara says there was once an Avera, Vegel Azov. Most of Klal Yisrael, except for Shev Levi, almost everybody was involved in the Egel Azov. So the Gemara says, all gold in the world, this gold, I just dug it out in California. This gold was not involved in the Egel Azov, but all gold in the world and all Agolim and all Paris in the world, the Egel Azov wasn't the real Egel. But since it was a statue of an Egel, so we declare all gold in the world is called the Cheftza Shel Aveira, and all Agolim in Paris are called the Chavetz Shalva there. So the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear big dezob when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, because then Kaptega Nasus HaNeger, and on Rosh Hashanah when we blow Shofar, we're not allowed to use a Shofar Shal Para. It's Pasal Min HaTorah, because then Kaptega Nasus HaNeger. All Paris and all Agolim in the world are called the Chavetz Shalaver. The Aver wasn't done with this Chavetz. Aver was done with an Egel HaZohav. But all year long, the Kohen Gadol does wear big days off. Why don't you apply the rule of Enkategan Asaneg all year long? Mar says, no, this Chumrah, that it's called the Chefze Shel Aver, all gold in the world is called the Chefze Shel Aver, because of the Egel Azov, and all Agolim and Paris are called the Chefze Shel Aver, because of the Egel Azov. That's only when you go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, Lifnai V'Lifnim, V'Yimamish Lifnei Hashem, the different degrees of Esek Kedusha, saying there are 10 levels of being Lifnei Hashem, the Mishnah has in the first Perek in Kelim, Esek Kedushas. So the highest level is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that Yamamish Lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara says, when you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lifnei V'Lifnim, then we have a more Chomer degree of Ein Kategen Asat Negev. Chutz LeKodesh HaKadoshim, it's only called the Cheftzu Shal Aveira. If the person did an Aveira with this Lulav, he stole this Lulav, and because he stole it, he has a kinyan gzeila on it, and it's called a lulav hagozel. We label it as a lulav hagozel. But as far as doing mitzvahs and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there we're machmer. So the Gemara says, all right, that's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He can't go into the Kodesh. He wears the big dezov on Yom Kippur. Bachutz, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're more machmer in the definition of what's called a kateger. All gold in the world is called a cheftza shel aver. What's on Rosh Hashanah when you blow shofar? Who's lifnai v'lifnim? Morris says, even if you're in New York, even if you're in America on a different continent, came into the zikaron ka'asi ki lifnim dami. Since the purpose of tkiya shofar is la'al zechanim shal yisrael lifnei avim shabashamayim, means it's a form of tefillah. That's what we usually assume. When you blow shofar, it's a form of tefillah. It's a tefillah without words. A lot of times we don't know what we're supposed to ask for. A lot of times a person is chalashing to get accepted to that graduate school, and that'll be terrible for him. He wants Davkit to marry that girl. He wants Davkit to go to that yeshiva, and it doesn't work out. And he thinks that's a great tragedy. And a lot of times he was saved. If he would go there, he would get ruined. If he married that girl, he would get ruined. So on Rosh Hashanah, we daven without saying any words. Tzorcha, like the Gemara has an expression, Tzorcha atfila. The Klal Yisrael has so many needs, so many tzarachim. We don't have enough seichel to know what we're supposed to ask for. We may be asking for the wrong thing. So we blow shofar. It's a tefillah without any words. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we need, He should please take care of all of our needs. So on Rosh Hashanah, since it's the Yom HaDin, so Yom HaDin is an Eis Tzorah by definition. Eis Tzorah, L'chol HaDeis Tefillah is their Eis, even if you all like the Ramban. It's an Eis Tzorah, Tzorah's Rabbim. It's the Zechiv Tefillah Manatar. So the Beit Yaakov used to add, he thinks that perhaps the Pshat and the Rambam, holds that there's an obligation to daven Manatar once a day, every day. Maybe the Rambam also agrees with the Ramban, that the Mechayiv of Tefillah is when there's an Eis Tzorah. But the human being should realize that the human situation is such, the human being is always based tzor. He's healthy today, and chalila v'chalila, he can get sick overnight, and with a serious machla, all the sick people should have a refuah shleima. A person can be doing well in partners, then he can lose his job overnight. He can die overnight. Everything can change overnight. So the human situation is always so fragile, it's always based tzor. That's our observation, so we say. The Rambam basically agrees with the Ramban that the Mechayiv of Tefillah Menatar is Eis Tzorah, but the Rambam holds human beings are always Eis Tzorah. That's why there is always a Chiyuv to Daven. But Rosh Hashanah, if it's the Yom HaDin, so for sure there is a stronger Chiyuv to Daven. We know that Abu Dram has a premise of the whole Sefer of David. Abu Dram is, the premise is, based on Mishnais and Gemaras, that the Nusach of Tefillah and the Nusach of Brachas is supposed to be in Biblical Hebrew. We have a lot of Mekoros for this in the Mishnais and the Gemaras. So the question is, in the Shemoneh Esrei for Rosh Hashanah, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shamea Kol Tefilos Am Yisrael Hayom Berachamim, at the end of Shofar. Where does it say that in Tanakh? Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to all the Tekiyos. But does it ever say that in Tanakh? He sees everything that we do and hears everything that we say. What does it say? Shemeh kol tshuvos am Yisrael hayom v'rachamim. What does it say? B'shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The pasuk says Shemeh tefila adecha kol basa yavoyim. Shemeh tefila. So Shemeh kol tshuvos am Yisrael. Ki ha-shofar is a form of tefila. So when we say Shemeh kol tshuvos am, it's based on a pasuk. Shemeh tefila adecha kol basa yavoyim. So Soloveitchik thought that there was the pshat in his Gemara. Then on Rosh Hashanah, when you blow shofar, cave into the zikaron kol asi, kilifnim dami, when a person blows shofar, he's davar. It's a form of tefillah. And tefillah is ka'imid lefnei Hashem. The Rambam writes, ka'imid lefnei Hashem, as if man is standing in heaven in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's like in Kodesh HaKadosh. Mamish in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't pay attention when we davar. So we rattle off the words and we don't realize. We're supposed to have tekavona ka'imid lefnei Hashem. So I'm in lefnei Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. That's kiven to the zikaron kosi kilefnim dami. It's considered as if he's in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Even if he's in America when he's blowing shofar, so it's considered he has the mocham dikedin aben kategan asus anega. So that's why the Mishnah says shofar shel parah would not be acceptable because all agolim and all paras and all gold in the world are labeled as a kategor a cheftu shel aver because of the egel azov. When it comes to Lifnai V'Lifnim. So these are aspects, the fact that it's the Yom HaDin is because of the Chet of Adam Rishon. The fact that there's a theme of Malchus because a Melech Eloyam, so Adam Rishon was created on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did it say in Adon Olam? Azayin. The beginning of Adon Olam. Eis Nasa B'Chef Tzokol. As I'm Malach Shemoni, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon, there was then HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a Melech. So the Kabbalah of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, we are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's when Adam Rishon was Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. We say Rosh Hashanah is also the day Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Ori, the Medrash has the famous Medrash, Ori B'Rosh Hashanah, Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim. So you should be a Mekipurim, but you understand that's a Yeshua. When you have a Mechilas Avinus, that's a Yeshua. What do you mean, Ori B'Rosh Hashanah? What illumination do we get on Rosh Hashanah? So the Pashtus is that the Gemara has a comment in the end of Bav Metziah, commenting on the Pasuk in Baruch Hinafshi. It says, Toshes Chesh Adihi Loila, Boisir Mos Kol Chai Sayor. That the Gemara says, Oila Mazad Daimala Laila. What is that a description of? The dark jungle and all the wild animals are roaming around. That's a description of Olam Hazeh. Why is Olam Hazeh Daim Al Laila? Because it's very dark. We don't have illumination. We can sometimes see an Aver and we think it's a mitzvah. We sometimes see a mitzvah and we think it's an Aver. Look about how Kamas HaMedina and Eretz Yisrael. Many feel that this is the greatest thing that happened to the Jewish people since the Churban HaBayis. And others think that it's the greatest tragedy. Since the Churban HaBayis, Mamish Min HaKotze LaKotze, so many other things also like that. There's so many things that are so unclear. So that we say the Hayre Neinim B'Sarasecha. When you learn Torah, that gives illumination. That's what we say Hashem Ori the Ishi Ori B'Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu taught all the Marishim what's right and what's wrong. He gave him 6 out of the 7 mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Didn't give the Eiv Menachai because he wasn't allowed to eat flesh yet. Till after the Mabul, then the 7th Eiv Melachai mitzvah, 7th mitzvah was given after the Mabul. But we say Hashem Oiri on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave illumination to Adam Rishon, he should be able to see what's right and what's wrong. So these are themes of Rosh Hashanah that are rooted in the fact that the world was, the creation was completed on Erev Shabbos, the Shishi, the Sheshin and Rebereshis was on Erev Shabbos. Yeah, the Gemara has on all the Yamim Taifim, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. The Pasuk really only says on Sukkot, Mansim Chaseinu says on Sukkot, but all the Sholos Regalim, Ukshu Adadi, Chagamatz, Chagashuas, Chagasuk, Ukshu Adadi. So we know there's a Chiyab Simcha on all the Sholos Regalim. What about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? So that's a discussion in the Shagas Aryeh. Is there a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? Mein Nafka Mina. So Yom Kippur, you have to fast. What about Rosh Hashanah? If there's a mitzvah of Simcha, so you're not allowed to fast. So that in the days of the Goyim, there were many who had the practice to fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's Yom Adin. So that's a shaila. If there's a chi of Simcha, you shouldn't be permitted to fast. So the Shagazari has a Jew. Rav Soloveitchik always used to quote, the din is that one observes Avelis on Shabbos, Avelis Betzina, Avelis Befehesi, you don't observe. Because Shabbos is a Yom Brocha, by Brocha Lekemes Yom Shvi, by Kaddish Oisei. And the Pasuk says, Amishli Bichas Hashem Hi Tashir, Vela Yosef Etzev Imo. Because Shabbos is a Yom Brocha, there won't be any Atzvus. So that's why we don't permit Avelis Befehesi to be observed on Shabbos. But on Yontif, it's not only because Bichas Hashem Hi Tashir. Tosfos in Moed Kot, Berakan Melachon, Tosfos says that mitzvah, it's a Gemara, Kemat explicitly. The Gemara says, Kemat Beferish, that Simchas Yontif is in conflict with Nihag Avelis, it's a Tatir Isasri. So usually we have a Klal Eser Bechalois Eser. But here they're both essays. We have a Klal and the Gemara, the last half in Chulin, En Eser Decha Eser, Mayol Mehai Eser, Mehai Eser. How can you determine which essay is stronger? So the Gemara says, no, Ossi Eser Derabim, Doche Eser Diyochit. Simchas Yontif, all of Klal Yisrael has the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. Avelis, Ebel Yochit Asiloch, only this family is in observing Avelis. So if you have a conflict between two mitzvahs, Asay, Esay Diyochit and Esay Derabim, Ossi Esay Derabim, Doche Esay Diyochit. So the Simchas Yontif is Doche Avelis. So if the person is in the middle of Shiva, it comes Yontif, cancels the Shiva. The person in the middle of Shloshim, it comes Yontif, cancels the Shloshim. So there's a machlokes satana, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is kirigolim or lav kirigolim. So the pashtus is that that's the machlokes. Is there a chiyuv simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? How do we paskin? We paskin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are kirigolim. It does cancel avelus. So that doesn't fully, that's how Rav Soloveitchik goes. We used to bring the right that there is a chiyuv simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't really fully prove the point because we have a din in avelus, halacha k'tiba mekel ba'ovel. And there is a machlokes. Even if Rabbi Machmirim and only Yochid is Mekel, that's enough to be Mekel and Avelis because it's called the Safik Koldu. Whenever there's even a slight Safik Koldu, so it's a Din Daraisa. The Ramban quotes a Chuvas, Tosfos in Erevin, but Tosfos quotes a Chuvas Agonim. The Gonim are of the opinion that Avelis Yamishan, the first day of Shiva, is a Din Min HaTorah. If it's Yom Hamisa, the Hakvura. The Avelis doesn't begin till after the Kvura. So if the person is buried on the same day that he died, today that's very rare. Years ago they didn't have telephones, they didn't have telegrams. So who's going to come to the funeral? You're not going to wait a year till you notify all the relatives living in Arba Kampas Oritz. But today everybody has telephones. So right away they call Arba Kampas Oritz, and usually the Ruba, they always postpone the Kvura till a day later to give all the friends and relatives an opportunity to participate in the funeral. But if it would be Yoyim HaMisa VeHakvura, then the Shitas HaGoinim and the Sfardim follow that Shita. They hold that the Chiyuv HaVeilus on the first day of Shiva is their Isa. The Rama says we don't pass like that. Rama says Ashkenazim, Sakam Kubalas, that even the first day of HaVeilus only the Rabban. So the Ramban in the Torah saw Odom, and he has all the Hilchus HaVeilus quotes. Even though the Goyim are of the opinion that Avelis Yom Rishon of Shiva, first day of Shiva, is their Isa. But if you have a Sofik Avelis, you go to Kula. Sofik Avelis and Kula is not because Avelis is their Rabbanim. Even if Avelis Yom Rishon were their Isa, like Shitas HaGoyim, we still say Halacha Kedeva Mekal Bol. Still go to Kula. Based on a Pasuk, a Drasha from a Pasuk, that Sofik Avelis is the Kula. Sofik Avelis is the Kula. So could it well be that we don't really paskin that there's a chi of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? And why do we say that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur derech Avelis? Because it was a machlokes hatanaim, so maybe it's a sofik. Maybe we can see it as sofik koldehu. Maybe we really paskin there's no chi of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because there was such an opinion that constitutes a sofik koldehu. So some of the Rishonim explain on Erev and Daf Mem on the basic Mar has a shaila. When you say Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, when you recite Kiddush on Shalosh Regalim, so you say Shachyanu at the end. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, you can say Shachyanu as you're walking in the street on Yom Tov. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Kiddush. But if you'll say the Shachyanu instead of Zman, Shachyanu Viganu Lazman Azed, it's called the Brichas Hazman. So even though strictly speaking, Zman I'm Rafi Lebashuk, if you want, you can say Shachyanu while you're walking in the street, if the street is clean. There's no filth in the street. But it's preferable to save the Shekhinah till the end of the Kiddush. you enhance the chashivas of the bracha and make it into a bracha ala kos. That's more chashivas, a bracha ala kos. So the Gemara says, Shachyonu on Pesach Shavuot, that's a chiyuv. Shachyonu when you have a prichadosh, that's only a rishus, that's not a chiyuv. So the Gemara knows on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur you say Shachyonu. What they do last year? They remember, everybody knows we said Shachyonu last year on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara has a shaila in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis. Is Shachyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur a chayva like Pesach Shavuot Sukkis? Was it only rishus like prichadosh? Gemara comes to the conclusion it's a chayva. So some of the Rishonim explain on that daf what was the yibaya, what was the suffix in the Gemara. The suffix was you recite Shachyonu because there's a chi of simcha on Pesach Shavuot Sukkis. So that was the shaila. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So therefore, Shachyonu is a chayva, and that's the maskana. Yes, the Shachyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not a vishus, not like a prichadosh. It's only vishus. Shachyonu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a chayva. On Rosh Hashanah you say alakos. On Yom Kippur you can't say alakos. You know, no one's allowed to drink the wine. So we say bashuk. We say it in shul. We say it in shul. Right, you have to come in. Everybody says Shachyonu. So we assume that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur there is a chiyuv simcha. Yeah, the Ramban, Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs is of the opinion that Hallel on Yom Tov is deraisa. Tosfos assumes a dover pasha the Hallel. Tosfos and the Ramban may assume a dover pasha. Hallel on Yom Tov is only midrabban, and the Ramban makes fun of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos that he counts up the Bahagas of Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists up under his opinion at the 613 mitzvahs. It includes Halal Ayantiv as one of the mitzvahs. So the Rambam makes fun of it. It's only the Rabbanan. It doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam defends the Bahag. He thinks that Halal is there. I said, where is there a Pasuk in Chumash that says you have to recite Halal? So the Rambam interprets all Pshat and the Gemara and Erech and Daf Yudam and Beis that the Mechayev of Halal on Sholosh Regalim is the chi of simcha. The simchas haguf and the simchas hanefesh. That the simchas haguf you have kvas of the yayin. And the simchas hanefesh is reciting halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was why the Gemara says, Omer malach ha'sharetz ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'anu shalolim. How come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? How come the Jewish people are not reciting halal? There's a mitzvah of simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that should be a chi of halal. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, no, sefer chaim sefer mechsim psuchim lefonai. It's not the right, it's not the proper time to say halal. So what does that mean? It means that there's no chi of simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. No, we just said that there is. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam says, you don't recite halal in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because they're not yimei simcha yisera. So you see from the Rambam, there is a chi of simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but it's a different kind of simcha. It's not the same kind of simcha like Yom Kippur you fast, you don't have basar yayin at all. It's a different kind of simcha. So the halal also we leave it out because it's yom neiroim. Sefer chaim, sefer meisim, psuchim lefon. It's not the right time to recite the halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So these are some of the aspects of Rosh Hashanah. There is a chi of simcha, but it's not the same degree of simcha as sholosh regalim. Yeah. And when we blow the shofar, so the Rav Haigon said that there are 10 different kavanas. So one of the kavanas is to be mamlech hakadosh baruch hu. The theme of malchus is because the Merishim was created on that day, and ein melech b'lo yom. After the world was completed, after the Merishim was brought into the world, then azay melech shemana ikra. So hakadosh baruch hu became a melech. So every year in Rosh Hashanah we are mamlech hakadosh baruch hu. So that's one kavana. When we blow shofar, we have in mind it's like blowing the trumpets when they appoint a new king. And then because it's the Yom HaDin, because Adam HaRishon sinned the same day he was created, he was instructed with the Din of the Doris, the six of the seven mitzvahs, Beninach, and the Hayra Shah, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he violated it right after he was instructed. It didn't even last. If he would have waited till El Shabbos, would have been Mutter, the Medrash says. He didn't have the self-control to wait till El Shabbos. So he was judged and punished, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, in all the future generations, he will judge all of the descendants of Adam Rishon. So Yom HaDin, that's why there's another kavanah at Kiyah Shofar. The kavanah is that it's a tefillah. There are two types of tefillah. The Gemara has a statement, the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesei Beis Tefillah Yikarei L'chol HaAmim. When Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, he offered a beautiful tefillah. which appears both in Sefer Meloch HaMan and Divrei HaYamim. So Shlomo HaMelech doesn't say a word about the Beis HaMikdash being built for the purpose of bringing Karbonos. The whole Tefillah, he says, he built the Beis HaMikdash, we should be able to come to our next door neighbor, the Rebbein Shalom. He's our neighbor, and we should pour our heart out. If a person will have aggravation, if there'll be a sakana to the Medina, if there'll be any machlekes between human beings, we should go to the Rebbein Shalom and offer our tefillahs. And he says we should go to the Beis HaMikdash. If he lives too far away, we should face the Beis HaMikdash. We should face the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesa Beis Tefillah Yikari Lechov HaAmim. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Miyam Shechara Beis HaMikdash, since the Beis HaMikdash is the official location for Kabbalah's Tefillahs, Kibesa Beis Tefillah Yikari, Miyam Shechara Beis HaMikdash, Minna Lushari Tefillah. Lushari Tefillah not open to the same extent that it used to be Bizman, Shad Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. And then the Gemara says, but nonetheless, even though Shari Tefillah were Ninalu, Shari Demois were learned Ninalu. If the person davens with such strong kavanah on such a serious matter that he's brought to tears in the davening, so then it's a more serious tefillah. So that's even the Zman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, those tefillahs will be accepted. So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Chumash. It says, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah Yelachem, and the Gemara quotes Targumunkel, it's Chumet Targuminan, Yom Yabava. And what does Yabava mean in Aramaic? So the Gemara says, Pasuk says, Eim Sistra Bati Abev. Bati Abev means that Sistra's mother was sobbing. Her son was the Sartzva Melech Aram, I think, and he didn't come back from the war. They had a war against the Jewish people. So the mother was crying, where is our son? So they were trying to calm her down. The end of the story was that he was killed. They killed him. The Jewish people succeeded in killing him. But she was crying. So the Gemara says, Kiya Shefer, the true is supposed to sound like crying. Why should it sound like crying? Because the Gemara says, even though Shari Tefillah and Ninalu, Shari Demois will learn Ninalu. So we want that Kiya Shefer is a form of Tefillah, Rosh Hashanah, as we said before, that we say that the Nusach HaBrocha, Shemeh Kol Truah Samiso HaYom Berachamim, where does that Lashon appear in Tanakh? It says, Shemeh Tefillah Decha Kavosu Yivah. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the Tekiyas like as if we were davening. We're davening without saying any words. We're just grunting and making noises. So we should make the noises that it should sound like crying. So the Gemara has three different opinions in the Tanoim. When a person cries over a tragedy, so there are different points in the crying. Sometimes he'll sob like a trua, and sometimes he'll cry like a shvarim. Sometimes he'll cry and sob like shvarim trua. So the Gemara sounds like there were three different opinions what the Truah is supposed to sound like. It's supposed to sound like Shvarim, it's supposed to sound like Truah, it's supposed to sound like Shvarim Truah. So the Gemara says, Rabba Bo made a takana, he lived in the city Kisrin, asking Rabba Bo be Kisrin, that you should blow everything. You have to blow three times Tkiya, Truah, Tkiya. But we're not sure what the Truah is, so we blow Tkiya, Truah, Tkiya three times. Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya three times and Tkiya Shvarim Truah three times. So we blow on to all the logical possibilities. The Goyim quote, they carried over the minig b'shtei yeshivas, the two yeshivas, Sura and Ardor, I think, in Bavel. So the minig b'shtei yeshivas in the days of the Goyim was, after Malchus they would blow once Tashrat, after Zechrenes they would blow once Tashat, Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, and after Shofes, they would blow once, Kia Truah Tkiya. So the Goyim were bothered with the Pella. It doesn't make any sense. If the correct form of Truah is Truah, so then we only did it once, Kia Truah Tkiya, we did it after Shofes. The first one, after Malchus Shofes, we didn't do it like that. If the correct form is Shvarim, so we only did it on one. If the correct form is Shvarim Truah, we only did it on one. So it's for sure Benat Yotzeh. You want to have tkiyas al seder abrochas after malchus after zechrenes after shayfres, and the tkiyas that we blow contradict each other. If it's close to be shvarim, all three should be shvarim. So it took until the days of the shalom. The shalom was in the 1500s. Shalom lived in Frankfurt, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he lived in Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life. that the Shaloh said, after Malchus and after each one, you should blow Tashra, Tasha, Tara. Because we're not sure which is the correct form of Kiyas Shofar. But the Minig Vishtei Yeshivas doesn't make sense to blow Tashrat after Malchus, and Tashat after Zechrinus, and Tarat after Shofar. Each one is so sadiyo. So Pella. So the Rav Haigoyen has his solution to the problem. Rav Haigoyen is quoted by the Ran and by the other Rishonim, that Mikra Din Daraisa, everyone agrees, he yotze with any form of crying. Shvarim Chua is good, and Shvarim alone is good, and Chua alone is good. All three are good. So why did Rebbe Bo make everybody crazy? You have to blow all the possibilities. The Gemara sounds like it's a real Sveka Dedina, Machlekes. So the Rav Haigoyen says, no, it wasn't a Sveka Dedina. It's not a Machlekes. All three are acceptable. But the Balabatim thought, in the community where they blew only Shvarim, they thought they're the only ones who are Yotze. Every other shul in the world is not Yotze because they're not blowing like us. And the other shul where they blew Tarat, Kia Truat Kia, they thought they're the only ones. All the other people are not Yotze. So that all the people should realize that everybody was Yotze. They shouldn't look down on anybody. Strictly speaking, they were all Yotze. All the forms are acceptable. That's Rav Haigoyen claims like that. But that everyone should realize that everybody was Yotze. So he said, let Rabbi Bo made a takonim. He said, he kissed me. Everybody should do all the logical possibilities. So for sure, everybody was Yotze. But most of the Rishonim don't hold like that. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's a real machlok, it's a real Sveka Dedina, which is the correct form to blow Shofar. So the Goinim give an answer on this Pella. How about Yotze Tkiyas? I'll say that, brother. So they say, our practice is that we blow all the Tkiyas before Musaf. We blow everything. We blow Tashrat three times, Tashat three times, and Tarat three times. So we yotze everything. We yotze everything already before we begin to daven Musaf. So you're not really being yotze Tkiyas al Seder HaBrochas. We already yotze everything before the Shemana Esrei. So we're just blowing more in order to have Mea Kolos. So it doesn't really make a difference. The tkiyas that we do after Malchus, after Zechanes, after Shaifres, is not really the tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas. We yotze everything b'di'evet shalei al Seder HaBrachas. Before we started to daven tefillah b'lachash, we heard all the tkiyas already. This is just for the purpose of the Mea Kolos. So everything is acceptable. That's what the Goyim say. The Ramban has a different suggestion. Ramban has an interesting suggestion. Ramban says that there's another time in the year when we blow tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas on a tainis tzibur. We usually have a Shmon Esri with 18 brachas. We already changed it. We have 19. But in the early days, they had 18 brachas. That's how it's called, Shmon Esri. And then when there was a tainis tzibur, when the Bezim was going to a tainis tzibur, the Chazan and Chazor HaSashas would add an additional 6 brachas that added up to the sum total of 24. So the Gemara brachas shows, based on Psukim, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila was a body of 120 Chachamim, or Behem Kama Nevi'im. That's the Lashon Gemara. And amongst them were several Nevi'im. So the Gemara said, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner points out this Gemara. It would appear from the Gemara, you have to have a Koyach HaNevuah to be able to compose a tefillah that shall last for so many years, over 2,000 years. Anshei Knesset HaGdoila were the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period. And we live 2,000 years after the Churban HaBayis, over 2,000 years. Some of the words we had to change, because we can no longer say, preserve the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We had to change some of the things. But most of the tefillah remains the same Lashon that they composed. So they had to have a koyach of nevuah to be able to compose these tefillahs. And they had to have a mokar in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 18 units. And they had a mokar that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 24 units. So on a tainis tzibur, if they would add an additional 6 brachas in the Chazor HaSashatz, and 6 and 18 was 24, then that was based on that mokar. So at the conclusion of each one of the 6 additional brachas in the Chazor HaSashatz on a tainis tzibur, they will blow shofar, tkiyah truah tkiyah. So the Ramban says that tkiyahs that you do al Seder HaBrachas on Rosh Hashanah is to enhance the tefillah, to raise it to the level of Shari Demois. If you just daven and you don't cry, say miyam shalcha beis hamikdash nino l'shari tefila. But if you cry or you blow shofar, it sounds like crying. So you elevate the level of the tefila, and we say shari demais like in alu. So the Ramban says anatayne sibur, but when you blow shofar, I'll say the habrachas on Rosh Hashanah to enhance the chashivas of the tefila. There the Rabbi Gaon is right. Any form of crying is acceptable, whether you do shvarim, or you blow shvarim trua, as long as it sounds like crying, it elevates to the level to shari demois lani in alo. The whole machloikis that the Gemara said there was a machloikis, not like Rav Haglund, there never was a machloikis and everybody agrees to everything. Simple reading Gemara is there was a machloikis hatanai. That machloikis was on Rosh Hashanah, yamamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the same kavana as enhancing the bracha by elevating it to the level of shari demois. So when you mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and you're blowing the shofar, kedei shetamlechun alechem ubameh b'shofar, by blowing the trumpets, so that's a machlekes hatanaim. How are you yotzed kiyas of Rosh Hashanah? Kiyas al seder brachas, tashvat is good, and tashat is good, and tarat is good, and any mixture is also good. So you can blow tashvat after malchias, and tashat after zechreinus, and tarat after shofar. That's not a steer. All the three forms are acceptable. Rav Haigon is right with respect that some mulchamas, and Rosh Hashanah has that. Now, so Leitchik read it. It was interesting. He read it for us. But the machlekes hatanaim is the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar Rosh Hashanah. Forget about al seder, but let's say you don't have a machzor. You've only got to blow shofar. So it's not tkiyas al seder abrochas. It's tkiyas Rosh Hashanah to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a machlekes. What's the correct nusach? So that we do all the logical possibilities. But when you blow again in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, we already said tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah already. Before we even start Musaf, tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah, that's to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a machlekes, which is the correct form. So that's Rav Abba made a takana b'kisri. You have to do all of the logical possibilities. Malchus Zuchana Shoifus, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim and the Torah's Kohanim also learns that. Rashi on Parshas Emor quotes it, and Rashi on the Gemara sounds like it holds that Kiyas on Seder HaBrochus is a real din deraisa. So the Ramban on Chumash on Parshas Emor is Masigan Rashi. How can it be that Kiyas on Seder HaBrochus deraisa? The whole Malchus Zuchana Shoifus is only Midderabbonim. Everything is Midderabbonim. How does he know it's Midderabbonim? He says it's an often a Gemara. The Gemara has a price, a situation. A person lives in a little village where there's neither a machzer, so that no one's going to know how to say Malchus Zuchana Shofar. Nobody knows it by heart. And there's no shofar, so he won't be able to have either. He does not have enough money to travel to the big city, to Vilna, or to New York, whatever, where we have, in all the shuls, we have a machzer, we have a shofar, we're going to have both. He only has enough money to go to some nearby village, a poor man. So he can either go to a village where there's a shofar and there's no machzer, or he can go to a village where there's a machzer and there's no shofar. So the Gemara quotes in Braise, it's preferable to go to the village where there's a shofar. So the Gemara says, why? Because shofar is the Raise, Malchus Zuchana Shofar is only the Rabban. So the Gemara says, pshita, is such an obvious din. What do you need a Braise to tell you that for? Everybody knows that Malchus Zuchana Shofar is only the Rabbanim davening. The text of Davening is only the Rabbanim. And Tkiyas Shofar is the Raisa. And for the Gemara, the Raisa means to say the following. In one village, there's no Shofar, but there is a Machzer. So if he goes to that village, they have no telephone. He has no way to find out. He'll blow in all the money. He'll go to that village, then he'll find out. He heard that in that village they're going to have a machzor, not going to have a shofar. They'll be able to hear Malchus Zuchana Shofar from the chazan. In the other village, he heard that they don't have a machzor. They may or may not have a shofar. So it may turn out that he'll be left with nothing, no shofar and no machzor. So the Gemara said that's what the Braisa means to say. If it's a toss up, he only has enough money to go to one of two villages nearby. He can't afford to go to the big city where they have both a shofar and a machzer. So either go to one village where they only have a machzer and don't have a shofar, at least they have a machzer and a shofar. But that's only the Rabbanan. And he can take that money, go to the other village where he knows for sure they don't have a machzer, and the rumor has it they may or may not have a shofar, and they turn out to have nothing. So the Gemara says it's preferable to go to the village where there may or may not be a shofar. Even though may turn out that he has nothing, it's better to have a suffix shofar than to have a vadai malchus rana shofars. So I'll call upon him, the Ramban says that's a beferish Gemara. Now, malchus rana shofar is only the Rabbanan. So how can Rashi and Chumash, Rashi and the Gemara, how can Rashi in a few places sounds as if he says that it's a real din deraisa, kiyos al seder Rabban? How can that be? It's against the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over almost every year, there's a Sefer Kapas Tamarim, written in the 1500s by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim. So it has on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah. So the section that's on Sukkah is called Kapas Tamarim. The section that's on Rosh Hashanah is called Sefer Yom Trua. And the section on Yom, it's on the last Perek in Yom, just about the Inuim, that's called Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So in the Sefer, that Sefer, the Yom Trua, part of the Sefer, Kapas Tamarim, usually people call it Kapas Tamarim because the biggest section is on Sukkah. So the Kapas Tamarim, he defends Rashi. He says, Rashi says that Kiyas al Seda, Malchus Rana Shofar is deraisa, if you have a Shofar and you're reciting Malchus Rana Shofar with Kiyas, then it's deraisa. But if you have one village where there's a Shofar, there's no Machzor. One village, there's a machzor, there's no shofar. So if there's no shofar, then the whole machzor and shofar is only the rabbana. It's the raisa. Rashi sheet is, if you have a shofar, and the shofar is a form of tefillah, but it's a tefillah without any words, so then we put words to it, so then it's the raisa. You say the words are malchus and tzachonis and shofars, and you offer a tefillah. The format, the outline of each one of the brachas, Malchus Rana Shofar, is first we start off with a declaration of Emunah. We believe the Rambam is famous, the Rambam in Hakdamah to Perek Chelek and the Pirush HaMishnayos lists off one of his opinion on the 13 Ikori Emunah. The way I printed in a lot of the Sidurim, after Shachrit, the 13 Animams. So that's most of it is taken from the Rambam in Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, in the end of Sanhedrin. The 13 Animamans. So, not everybody agrees to the Rambam that there are 13 Ikori Emunah. So, there's a Sefer by Rabbi Yosef Albo, one of the Sfaradish Gedolim. He lived way after the Rambam. So, he thinks that there basically are three Ikori Emunah. And the three Ikori Emunah are Malchus, Zechayin, and Shofars. We believe in one God has full control of everything in the world. And Zechronus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows everything that we do. There's Yediyah, and there's Schar V'Yoynesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the Tzaddik and punishes the Rishayim. That's all one Iker and Emunah. And then the Shofars, there's such a thing as Torah Men HaShemayim and Gilu Shechina. Whenever there was Gilu Shechina, there was always Tkiyah Shofar. So there, Rabbi Yosef Albo thinks that basically all the 13 Ikori Emunah can boil down to these three, and a few together join to be Malchus. A few of the Ikori Emunah join together, combine together, blend in together to be Zechronus and to be Shofar. So each one of the three brachas, you start off with a declaration of what our position is, what we believe in. And then, how do we know that it's true? So we prove Davazah Kalas Baptorah. So we quote all the psukim, the 10 psukim. And then we conclude each one of the three brachas, etc. That's how you end off Zechronus. Each one you end off with a bakosha. So that's the framework of the Malchus Zechronus Shofars. So that when you have a shofar, and tkir shofar is a form of tefillah, but it's a tefillah of crying, Yabava, Yom Truah Metargin Minan Yom Yabava. We're crying, offering a tefillah without any words. So then we learn out from the Pesukim and Chumash, if you're blowing shofar, you enhance the tekiyah shofar as a tefillah by saying these ideas are malchus rana shofars. But when the Gemara says that it's only the Rabbanan, the Gemara is talking about a case when that village, there is no shofar, they only have the machzor. So then Malchus Rana Shofars will be the Rabbanan. And Rashi is talking about a case when you do have the shofar and you do have the machzor, then it will be a din deraisa. when exactly do you blow shofar? So the Gemara says originally the practice was they would blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz and Shacharis. Why? Because Zriz Magdim and Mitzvahs. Why should you wait till Musaf to blow out Seder HaBrachas HaMusaf if you can do it Shacharis? But in Shacharis, did they say Malchazor in the Shofaris? So the Balamor has this, comes up with this Kiddush. Then the Iker Adin, you have to say Malchus Rein and Shofis in every Amidan, Rosh Hashanah, Amayrim and Shachas and Mincha, and Musaf, all four tefillahs, have Malchus Rein and Shofis. We don't follow that opinion. We hold that all the tefillahs on Yontif, on Rosh Hashanah, the same as any other Shabbos, any other Yontif, but only seven brochas. Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achrein, and the broch Emtzois is on the Kedusha Sayyim. But when you plan to blow shofar, then you have, and not Chazaras HaShatz, you're going to have the Malchus Rein HaShofis. So in the earlier generations, they used to prefer to blow shofar in Shacharis because Zriz Magdim Lel Mitzvos. The Gemara says, but the shul is half empty because a lot of people come late and they're going to miss part of the tekiyas. So shouldn't it be preferable to blow shofar in Musaf because Beroi Vam Hadras Melt, there'll be more people? So the Gemara seems to say the Farish, no. You have a conflict between two Hidurim. If you blow Shofar in Shacharis, it'll be Hidur Zviz Magdim and Mitzvahs. You're blowing Shofar earlier. If you're going to blow Shofar in Musaf, you'll have a Hidur of Roi Vam Haris Melech. The shul will be full. There'll be more people come. People come late in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. A lot of people come late. So the Gemara is kemat explicit that Zviz Magdim and Mitzvahs takes precedence over Beroivam Hadras Melech. But B'shas HaSakana Shaninu, in the days of the Tanoim, the government was afraid that the Jews who were blowing shofar, they thought that it's a symbol of a revolution, that a rebellion is taking place. So they prohibited them from blowing shofar. But after they saw that the davening and laning Kriyas HaTorah and davening so much gedaven, so then they realized that it's not a merit, it's not a rebellion. And then, so they left it like that, that instead of blowing shofar in Shacharis, like they did in their earlier generation, they moved it and they blow shofar in Musaf. Why do we still continue to do it today? What's the Shas HaSakana today? So Taisa says, we're afraid that the Sakana may turn, we may return again. It's difficult. We live in a free country. We never had that. The Jews never had freedom of religion under the Goyish government. So that's a problem. Why do we still blow shofar on Musaf? Maybe we should move it up to the Shacharis. But it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara is Beferish. You have every Rosh Hashanah, you have the conflict of considerations. Should we prefer to say Malchus Rein HaShofis in Shacharis because Zviz Magdim Lel Mitzvahs and blow shofar in Shacharis? Should we prefer to blow in a Musaf because Beroi Vam Haris Melech? So the Gemara says, Bikra Din, Zviz Magdim Lel Mitzvahs, that Hidur takes precedence over the Hidur of Roi Vam Haris Melech. So that's what they complain. All the Achrayim complain. There's a very common practice when a baby boy is born and you need a Pidyon HaBen. If it's a Petrach, you need a Pidyon HaBen. So the common meaning is that you do the Pidyon HaBen at the end of the day. Why? Because for some reason or another, if you have a bris early in the morning at the 7 o'clock minyan, the relatives will show up. If you have a pidyon haben after the 7 o'clock minyan, people will not come. They don't see that the significance of a pidyon haben is as great as the significance of a bris meal. So because we're concerned of Beroi Vam Haris Melech, that's why we do the pidyon haben at the end of the day. If you would have had the pidyon haben early in the day, you would have had Zriz Magdim Lel Mitzvahs, and you would have not had the Hidur of Roi Vam Haris Melech. So that's what all Achrayim ask Pe'echot. But this Gemara Rosh Hashanah is befavish, that the Hidur of Zriz Magdim Lel Mitzvahs to do the Pidyon HaBen earlier in the day should take precedence over the Hidur of Roi Vam Haris Melech. So why do we postpone the Pidyon HaBen to the end of the day? Should we have it earlier, even if hardly anybody will show up? That's a kasha. But that's what you see from the Gemara, that in the early generations, he used to blow shofar in Chazaras HaShatz in Musaf. Yeah. The Taisus in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Oroch that they used to blow Meir Koilos. It's in the Chuk Paganim also. Meir Koilos. And the calculation of all the Meir Koilos That's the big tesis on Daf Lamed Gimel on page. They run through all the dinim of Kir Shefer. And then part of the Meir Kodesh is they used to blow in Tefillah Balachash of Musaf also. They blew up the Malchus Chayin Shofar in Tefillah Balachash, as well as blowing after the in the Chazar Sashatz at the conclusion of Malchus Chayin Shofar. So that's usually a big balagan, because no two people daven at the same speed. So when, how are you going to decide that everybody completed Malchus? It's going to be a whole balagan. It's very confusing. In all the shuls, but they blow, and by Chassidim they blow. By some of the Sfardim they follow, they also, they blow in Tefillah Balachash. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced in his little minion, in Maimonides, has a very small minion, they used to have a very small minion. He said Rav Chaim used to, on Rosh Hashanah, he made a small minion because he wanted to follow that sheet of the Oruch to blow Shofar and Tefillah Balachash also. So Rav Soloveitchik would always make an announcement. Before Tkiyah Shofar, everyone should have a mind to be Yotze with the Bracha, and you shouldn't talk till the end, you shouldn't be Mapsik. And then he would announce, everyone should answer Amen after the Chazan completes the final syllable of the Bracha. Because a lot of times, people, the Nigan of the Davening on Yom Tovim, on Shalosh HaGolim, and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Nigan misleads the people to say Amen too early. Let's say, the Chazan says at the end of Zichreinus, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zocher HaBris. The people usually don't wait till the end, till the last syllable. They say, Amen, while the Chazan is saying HaBris, they're saying Amen. Kadesh Yisrael, Hazmamen. Everybody usually says Amen together with the final syllable. So that's called Amen Chatufo. You're not supposed to answer Amen before the person says the final syllable of the bracha. And then Rav Chaim had a diuk in the Rambam, others have such a similar diuk. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Brachos, you should always answer Amen when you hear someone else say a bracha. Then the Rambam repeats it in three cases that you have to say Amen. He repeats it by Chazor HaSashatz and by Bench and Mizun and by a third case. So it may be a diuk, not necessarily mucha, may be a diuk, that by Chazor HaShatz, in these three cases, Chazor HaShatz, Bench Mezumen, in the third case, by Birchas HaGaymo, a special case, it could be that Anios Amen is Li'ikuva, because maybe you need audience participation. Bench Mezumen is the whole Chabur offers one benching. Chazor HaShatz, the whole Tzibur is offering Tfilas HaTzibur, the whole Tzibur is offering. When they daven balachash, that's tefilas hayochid, you're davening tefilah bitzibah. When the chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, that's called tefilas hatzibah. The whole tzibah is offering a davening. So it could be that if you have birchas hamazon b'chabura, a tefilas hatzibah, could be that you need audience participation. Otherwise, it's not considered a tefilas hatzibah. If the tzibah doesn't answer amen. So if they answer amen incorrectly, they're going to answer amen chatufa, they said amen too soon. That's equivalent to an unanswering Amen. So that's why Rav Velbel of Soloveitchik used to be very makbid, and the Rav would always make the announcement on Rosh Hashanah. And the Tzibur should make sure they don't begin to say Amen till the Chazan completes the final syllable of each one of the brachas. Because if he's going to answer Amen, Shaloi Kedim, you don't have Tkiyas Al Seyda brachas, because no one's Yotze with the Chazor HaShatz. And you don't have Tkiyas Al Seyda brachas. And that's why there used to be Makbin. I remember when I was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, three of the Rabbeim had learned by Rabbi Belvele in Europe. So one of them had a shul, Rabbi Gerelik had his own shul in the Bronx that he never davened in the Yeshiva. And one of the others, Rabbi Fishman, Zochan Rabbi Fishman, he didn't have a shul, so he used to daven in the Yeshiva Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he would always face Mizrach, but then when it came the end of the bracha, Amalchus and Shofar, the end of each bracha in Shmoneh, he would turn around and pick up his hands and show the students they shouldn't say Amen, and then he would wave his hands, but they should say Amen. Rav Velbel used to make the announcement. That's all, like Rav Soloveitchik used to make the announcement. Before the Chazan said, before the Baptikeya said the Brachas, and Tkiyah Shofar, he would say the announcement. Everyone should make sure they don't begin to say Amen till after the Chazan finishes the final syllable of the Brach. Rav Soloveitchik used to make another announcement. He's going to daven a little bit louder. He always used to daven Tfilah Balachash a little louder. The people near him could always hear him saying Shmoneh Esrei. It wasn't so much Balach. He always said, That's the way his father did, that's what Rav Chaim did, that's what Rav Zalvale did, that's what the Chafetz Chaim also. People who daven next to the Chafetz Chaim, they heard every word that he said in the Shemoneh Esrei. He used to say it out loud. Are you supposed to be Balachash, Agut Tekasha, but you have to be Mashmir Li'oznach. So the Rav used to always announce before Tekir Shofar, he will daven Musaf a little louder than usually, and everyone should synchronize their Shemoneh Esrei with his. So when he's going to finish Malchias, the Baltikeh is going to blow. He's going to finish Zechrinus, Baltikeh is going to blow. So they shouldn't rush ahead and they shouldn't lag behind. They should keep up with him. It was a decent pace. They should keep up with him. So everyone will be holding on the same page. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. What if someone davens a slow Shemoneh Esrei, so the Baltikeh is blowing for Malchias, but I'm in the middle of Malchias? So I think Rav Moshe said that's okay. But then if the Baltikeh is going to blow for Shofar, and I'm still in the middle of Malchias, then it doesn't relate to Shofar, it doesn't relate to Zechrinus. If at least I'm in the middle of that bracha, or the end of the bracha, so then the tkiyas can relate to that bracha. But if I'm in a different bracha, then the tkiyas of the Baltikeh don't relate. I'm not yotze tkiyas on Seder HaBrachos. Now the Nezer writes, it's such a balagan, if you daven in a minyan, where they're having tkiyas in Tfilah Balachash, it's a terrible thing. So he writes, if not for the fact that I'm a chassidish rebbe, and that's what I do for a living, this is my parnasa, that by the chassidim they blow shofar and the Tfilah Balachash, he wouldn't do it. But he said, what can I do? I'm a chassidish rebbe, and that's by the chassidim they blow in Tfilah Balachash. I gotta preserve, have to maintain the minig. But it is an issue. It is a problem. A lot of times it's extremely confusing, the tkiyas and the tfilah balachash. There was a big machlekes in the days of the Rishonim, when you blow shvarim truah, it's supposed to be tkiyah, truah, tkiyah. So one opinion is shvarim truah together is called the truah. So many Rishonim said it should be b'neshima achas. If you're going to pause in between to take a breath, so then it's you're making it into two different calls. It's supposed to be one call, shvarim truah. Another Rishonim insisted, no, that doesn't make sense. When a person cries and he's sobbing and crying, he pauses in between. He doesn't go from one to the other. So that was a major machlokes of Rishonim, whether the shvarim truah should be b'neshima achas or b'shtei neshimas. So the Mechaber writes a compromise, to be yetzer both shittas. So he recommends you should blow some koilas b'neshima achas, and others you should blow b'shtei neshimas. So which way? So it really should make a difference. When the tkiyas before musav you should blow one way, the tkiyas in the middle of musav you should blow the other way. Mechaber writes dafke one way. He says the tkiyas before musav, the tkiyas what we call tkiyas the miyushav, tkiyas in the middle of the Amidah is what we call the Shemoneh Esrei, tkiyas middle Amidah, that should be b'shtei neshimas. And the tkiyas before Musaf, that's what we call tkiyas the miyushav, that should be b'neshima achas. Why? The Mechaber should have just said, half should be like this, half should be like that. So the Vilna Gaon explains why. Because there was this issue with the minig b'shtei yeshivas. I live across the street from Breuer's. So in Breuer's community, they don't change any of their minhagim. So they still blow shofar like the minig b'shtei yeshivas. After Malchias, they just blow tashrat once. After Zechrinus, they blow tashat once. And after shofar, they blow tarat once. It doesn't make any sense, so it's akasha. They don't change. So all the Rishonim were bothered with this. Everybody changed. So the change that makes most sense is what Tushalo said. Zapella, why it took so many centuries till Tushalo lived in the 1500s? It took so long till they solved the problem. The Mechaber says, as if to solve the problem, the solution is, after Malchis, you blow Tashrat three times. After Zechrinus, you blow Tashrat three times. And after Shofar, you blow Tarat three times. So that doesn't answer any kasha. That's the same kasha times three. What the Shalosh said makes sense. You have to Malchis, it blow Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat. So for sure, you were Yotzei the beginning, and then after Zechrinus and after Shofar. Each time you blow all three, Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat. But to blow Tashrat three times after Malchis, and Tashrat three times after Zechrinus, and Tarat three times after Shaifres, that's the same kasha times three. They just made the kasha three times more than it was originally. They don't understand what the Mechaber thought he was gaining by blowing Tasha three times. So the Rabbeinatam, Tesis Kotz Rabbeinatam, had a different solution. Instead of following the meaning Vishtei Shivas, which they held doesn't make any sense, Rabbeinatam said you should blow Tasharat once after Malchias, once after Zechrinus, and once after Shofas. Aye, but the Gemara says you should not have Sukol Achad Ben Taim. If it's supposed to be Tarat, so what's the Shvarim doing there? It's supposed to be Tashat. So what's the Truah doing there? So you have a Hefzik Kol Acher, and the Gemara says you shouldn't have the Hefzik Kol Acher. The Rabbeinu Tam says that Gemara you shouldn't have a Hefzik Kol Acher. That's just Lechatchila. But Mikra Din, even if you have a Hefzik Kol Acher, it doesn't ruin anything. So the way to satisfy all the three opinions, you're going to do it in the perfect form in the Tfilas. And the tkiyas, the miyusha, when you blow tkiyas after haftarah, before you daven musaf, you're going to be yotze all the tkiyas thereis. And the tkiyas, I'll say the abrachas, so you have a hefzer kalachim in time, so you're not yotze lechatchila, but you yotze everything already before you started the daven musaf. So that's what the Vilna Gaon explains, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Vilna Gaon. If you would make the compromise to blow the tkiyas, the miyushav, before musaf, you blow b'shtei neshimas, and the tkiyas in the middle of chazor sashat, you blow b'neshima achas, then the rabbi, if those who follow the rabbi in the tam, that they just blow tashrat once after malchus, once after zuchanus, once after shayfus, rabbi in the tam won't be able to say that you yotze everything. If you blow shvarim tura b'shtei neshimas, then the Rabbeinu Tam holds that you were yotzei niman of shach. The hefzer kol acher doesn't ruin it. But if you belong shvarim truah b'neshima achas, and the shvarim doesn't belong or the truah doesn't belong, then the whole kol is ruined. That's worse than a hefzer kol acher in time. The kol that you want to be yotzei with is half corrupted. The whole thing is no good. So that's what the Bi'ur HaGro explains. Because the Mechaber mentioned the practice of the Rabbeinu Tam, to blow once Tashrat after Malchus, and once Tashrat after Zechronis, and once Tashrat after Shofres. So that's why he recommended, if you want to be Yotzei, they call Ashitas, blow the Tkiyas, the Miyushov, the Neshima Achas, and then blow the Tkiyas, the Miyumma, the Shtei Neshimas. And then the Rabbeinu, then you can rely on that Rabbeinu Tam. But we don't do like the Rabbeinu Tam, we do like the Shalom. We blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, after Malchus, after Zechronis, after Shofres. So then, however you'll arrange, whichever set you'll do, B'nishim Achas will be good. You do one set B'nishim Achas, one set B'shtei Neshimas. The Ramah says that more correct is you should blow everything B'shtei Neshimas, and the Shanas Haminik. That's what the Ramah says. And Rabbi Soloveitchik's tradition was just the reverse. You should blow everything B'nishim Achas, and then, instead of blowing Meir Kolos, Rav Soloveitchik used to blow 102 Kolos, because to be mashlim, the Meir Kolos at the end, we blow Tashrat Tashat, Tarat. So Rav Soloveitchik, instead of, at the very end of the last cut, instead of blowing Tashrat Tashat Tarat, we blow Tashrat three times B'shtei Neshimas. So he had two extra Kolos, he had 102 Kolos. Everybody else blows Tashrat Tashat Tarat, and that's mashlem the Meir Kolos. But if you're going to blow Tashrat, 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 then you got to have 102 Kolos, because you blew everything else. B'nishim Achas, I'll forget from the Ramah. Mikra then it should really be B'nishim Achas. And to satisfy the opinion, it has to dafke be B'shtei Neshimas. So he would add on another two Kolos. In addition to the Meir Kolos, add 102 Kolos. Okay, Blinada, next week we'll continue in Yonei Rosh Hashanah. And then Saras made sure that we'll talk a little bit in Yom Kippur. Should I be helpful?
Amen. It's good.
Thank you.
Okay.
You well. Thank you.
Rebbe, Avakasha.
Yes.
From where do we learn in Katego Nasek Stanego?
Yeah, it's a question, is it a din deraisa or a din derabbanan? It could be that mitzvah baba there is only a din derabbanan. That's one thing that Tosis has. The Gemara learns it out in the Pasuk, Adam Kiakriv, the beginning of Vayikra, Adam. They're just like Adam Arishan wasn't Makrid Minagezel, there was no one to steal from. by definition, there was no Gezel. Who did he steal from? His wife. There was only one other person. So there's no one to steal from. So to a korban agozel is a mitzvah bo ba'aleh. You want to answer that from the pasuk. That pasuk, Adam ki yakav, like Adam Rishon, often a pasuk from the haftar v'habeis and gozel, a korban gozel is not good because mitzvah bo ba'aleh. But Taisus has one suggestion in Sukkah, daf tes amanav. Maybe the whole din of mitzvah ba'aleh, maybe the whole thing is only midirabbanan. The Gemara presents it as if that's the reason why the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big day zohar lefnai v'lefnim. That's the reason. It doesn't say that in the Chumash. It doesn't really say that in the Chumash. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the Rabbanon, so it's an asmachta. Then the Rabbanon is a reason why the Torah gave such a din. Not the real reason, an additional reason. Yeah, but it's a question whether the mitzvah b'aver is a din der haisa, din der Rabbanon.
Did Chazal read the Makor for 19 brachas and 25 brachas in Shemoneh Esra?
Yeah, when they made 25, I don't know. When they changed it to make 19, they looked through the same Perek and Tilim. Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei appears 18 times, and then the word Kel appears. So they said we have a right to add a 19th bracha. V'la Moshinim has added because the Shem Hashem appears a 19th time. Not the same Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the Shem Kel. The 25, I don't think they had a Makor. 25, the Gemara just has a Makor for 18, for 19, and for 24. So I don't know, when they davened on a tiny Sibur, maybe they took a left Advil on Moshinim, I don't know. Could look up, maybe there is a Makor, not familiar. Okay, we should all be healthy, believe that, and next week we'll get together again at 8 o'clock. On Tuesday night.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Rebbe, a quick question.
Sure.
The Gemara that that Rashi and the Ramban are arguing about if you have two towns, one has Matthias, Ernest, and Shifres, and one has a Suffolk Shifer. Is that a din like Klali that whenever you have a Suffolk Deraisa versus a Vaday Derabanan, you always take your gamble on the Deraisa?
Yeah. The Gemara presents it. It's such a double kashid, you don't even need a Braisa. Yeah. Gemara presents it like it's a Svara Pshuta and Kolat Terakula, yeah.
I mean, even the Suffolk day, right? So the Maskana of the Gemara, the Suffolk ones, even that?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah. It's a Posh Peshat Gemara. Correct. Very good.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good. Okay.